Hey, everybody. Welcome to episode 2 of The Freeborn. My name is Ashley Griffith.
And I'm Clinton.
How you doing?
Well.
Oh, yeah. Tell us what happened to you.
I'm uninjured. No. Was at work today and a bundle of wood, 5-inch wide maple, to be exact. It was beautiful. Was swung around off a forklift and hit me in the side of the temple. So. Everyone felt bad and I'm still feeling bad. It's a little tender and swollen. Yeah.
You don't really get hurt like that often.
Yeah, I don't get hurt like that very often.
How's the workers' comp?
Well, no claim to be filed. I own the business. We don't want a claim. So anyway.
I'm good too. Thanks for asking.
Oh yeah. How are you?
I feel like I'm putting off major stay-at-home mom vibes right now.
That's okay.
Yeah. So episode 2, we just finished editing episode 1.
It was a major success.
Yeah. I feel pretty proud. High five.
No, it's good.
While I was editing it though, I had a thought that I actually wanted to share about roller coasters. Can you actually pull up that picture?
Yeah, sure.
I want to show you guys a picture. If you're watching, I mean, look at this insanity. But I mean, that's almost 90 degrees.
Right.
You know, everyone's just really happy. But the key to their happiness and enjoyment are the seats, right? All the safety precautions. Like, if that wasn't there, they would be terrified, but...
Yeah.
So, on our own adventure, you know, I just want us to think about how, like, we say yes to God, and in a sense, he straps us in.
Right.
And he's like, hold on tight.
Hold on tight.
This is going to be great. Yeah.
That's and good.
I just want us to realize that we are utterly safe in the hands of God. When he's taking us on this adventure in our life,
right.
We really don't have to worry about falling out. Do you know what I mean?
Things can get wild, but you'll be all right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so the key to enjoying the ride is the rest.
Mm-hmm.
It's trusting the seatbelt, trusting that the mechanisms are in place to keep you safe while you go 91 miles an hour and while you drop and dip and go upside down and stuff. And we have that utter safety in the hands of God on our adventure.
It's good.
So I just had that thought.
Start, yeah.
But today I want to start, it could be a 2-part series. It could be 3 parts. I don't know, but, this episode is titled, Are You in the Know? And, really what I'm trying to do with these first several episodes is just lay a foundation. I think there are spiritual keys we really need to grasp as we walk out our freedom. And because I'm believing that every episode we will have more and more listeners, I just want to reiterate that this is the Freeborn podcast, and the term freeborn means born into freedom. So if you're a son and daughter of God, if you're born again, then you have been born into freedom. And what this podcast is dedicated to doing is walking us through how to do that practically. Because I think we say this in theory, but I don't think we're living this accurately or properly. And I want to dive into how to do this the right way. I think the church is in desperate need of that. And I think the world needs this too. So this episode, we're just laying a foundation, an understanding of how freedom can be facilitated or grasped.
How do you achieve that freedom?
How I see do you what achieve you're saying. It? Yeah.
Yeah.
He's purchased it for us, but unless we...
Well, you don't have to... I mean, you are... Once you're born again, you are free, but how do you maintain that freedom?
Mm-hmm.
That's what's important, because
if you don't
from the time you accept Christ into your life, sins are washed away... Chains are loose, things are broken, addictions can be loosened right then. But how do you maintain it in a perverse world, right?
Yeah. And Exactly. So
yeah,
that's really what
maintain your freedom is even more important than just a document stating you're free,
or even someone saying you're free.
Exactly.
But like, are we free? Are we acting like we're free? Are we acting like the freeborn? So that's kind of what I want to educate. So we have two verses today that we are diving into. We're going to kind of break them apart step by step.
Okay.
The first one is Isaiah 5:13. And it says, my people go into exile for lack of knowledge. Mm. So that word exile there means taken into captivity.
Right.
Captivity is the opposite of freedom. Mm-hmm. And then the phrase lack of knowledge is the literal definition of ignorance.
Right.
So if we reword this verse, it's actually saying, my people are held captive because of ignorance. So we might be, so this is Old Testament, right? Mm-hmm. Applied today, New Testament, it's still the same. This is a truth. The truth is true. But there's a key here. So there is a spiritual key here. The Bible is full of these spiritual keys.
Okay.
And the spiritual key here is that captivity is directly related to ignorance.
Okay.
So the key to freedom is knowing the truth, right? Mm-hmm. So this actually reminds me of Frederick Douglass. Do you remember him? He was a slave. And he wrote a book. It's called The Life and Times of Frederick Douglass. And he wrote, I had to read this in college. Mm-hmm. I was an English major, so I've read a lot of books.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
You don't read.
I read when necessary. Onward.
You actually do read.
I do read. I read what I want to read. Right. I read what I want to read.
Right.
I don't love pontification. And a lot of people that write books love to pontificate. And it drives me nuts.
That's a really big word. Good job.
Thank you.
Anyway, so Frederick Douglass said, he had said two things. First, he said, he said lots of things, but these are two things that I really liked that bear up my point. Knowledge unfits a child to be a slave. Mm. Knowledge unfits a child to be a slave. Unfit means it disables them, like it disqualifies them. So knowledge disqualifies a child to be a slave. Mm. If you know better, you can't be held captive anymore. It's like, but no, I know too much. All right? Mm. And then education means emancipation. It means light and liberty. It means the uplifting of the soul of man into the glorious light of truth, mm-hmm. the light by which men can only be made free.
Okay.
So there it is. Truth is like a light, and the light of truth is what frees men, mm-hmm. right? So he's speaking as a slave. You know, slave owners back then specifically did not give their slaves an education because knowledge is power. They weren't even told their birthday, right? George Washington Carver did not know when he was born. He didn't know his exact age.
That's crazy.
Yeah, but the moment Frederick Douglass learned to read was the moment slavery became intolerable. Mm-hmm. So I think perhaps it was probably always awful, but it was the normal, like, this is how it is,
right?
Perhaps there was a toleration because he didn't know better. I don't remember the exact story, but once he knew better, captivity was unbearable. He couldn't stay captive anymore. He knew too much, like, this is unjust. This isn't right.
Right.
And that knowledge alone unfit him to be a slave, right? So knowledge is that powerful.
Yeah.
So if you're held captive by something, you're a slave to that thing, right? Whether you realize you're held captive by it or not. So that's the crazy thing about being a Christian is, yes, for freedom, Jesus has set us free. That's one of our bedrock Bible verses, Galatians 5:1. That's where I get the word freeborn. For freedom, he set us free. But you can be held captive by something and not know you're held captive by it. Right?
So right, absolutely.
We know that we've been freed from sin.
You might even have good intentions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We know we've been freed from sin, but there's a lot of lies that we believe.
Right.
And while we don't know they're lies, we don't know we're held captive by the lie. But the moment you know the truth, you're like...
True, unadulterated knowledge differentiates between right and wrong. People will say, well, this is just a truth. It's like, well, actually, it's not. That's your truth, what you think, but... Our whole world's full of opinions. The biggest complaint, I mean, obviously now with news and media, it doesn't seem like anyone reports the news or the media anymore. It's actually just opinions. Mm-hmm. So, and opinions are not truths.
Yeah, no. Actually, that's one of the things we're going to talk about in later episodes is Romans 14 says, don't quarrel about opinions. Like, opinions are almost worthless.
Yep.
But
I have a lot of them.
We all do. But we need to see our own opinions rightly. Like, yeah. They're not as important as the truth. And we need to be willing to relinquish our opinions for the truth.
Absolutely.
And when you understand that you're held captive by half-truths or by lies, and you're like, wait a minute, I'm supposed to be free. I am the freeborn. The lie is the enemy, not the person exposing the lie. You know what I mean?
Right.
And that's where I want us to get as Christians, is not offended when a lie or a deception is exposed in our lives. I want us to embrace the agent that exposed the lie.
Right.
Rather than attacking the agent because I believe this and it's like, no. Flesh and blood is not the enemy. The lie you believe, the lie that's holding you captive, is the true enemy. Let's align ourselves.
They used to kill people for thinking for people that would say the earth is not in the center. Yeah,
that's a great example.
You know,
Galileo. Of our,
yeah, exactly. They were murdering people because
they murdered him because he told the truth based
He's
on.
He's like, wait a second, this isn't making sense. And like, you know, how dare you?
Yeah. So. He said it's they wouldn't even look in the telescope. Did you know that? Mm-mm. He's like, no, guys, it's not everything revolves around the earth. Everything revolves around the sun. I can prove it to you. Look in the telescope. And they wouldn't do it. And they murdered him.
Wow.
So that's scary.
Can't afford to be wrong sometimes, can you?
Well, that's why I say
relinquish power, I guess. Relinquish your adulterated control. Because you've enforced your
well, pride and false ego get in the way too often.
Yeah.
But that's why I want us as the freeborn, one of our mottos to be, I don't want to be right, I want to be accurate, and be willing to relinquish everything that is not accurate, right? Because Jesus himself said, the truth sets you free. Mm-hmm. Freedom is my right, so I will not be held captive by lies. I will not say that lie is mine. It's not. That's kind of where I want us to get. So, you know, sometimes you can be held captive by something and not know it. That slavery to that something can be the normal in your life until the light of truth is in your eyes. So it could be a lie you believe, like I said. It could be a person that you're enslaved to, held captive to. It could be a group or a country or a substance or a habit, anything that is holding you captive, that's taking away your free will, that is taking away your agency, is holding you captive, is making you a slave. Yeah.
Give that list again that you said.
It could be a lie you believe. Mm-hmm. It could be a person. It could be a country.
Right. So it's not even really that person or that country. It's more of their ideologies are imposed upon you and you're allowing that to happen. It's not really like actual slavery. I mean, slavery still exists today throughout the world, but up the road, some guy that's running some church organization that doesn't have biblical foundation, that he's just imposing his will, not God's will, on people, that's a form of spiritual, emotional, mental slavery.
Right. Exactly.
I'm enslaving you to my thought and my idea and my opinion, and I am not subject to God. Dangerous.
And so as Christians, the slavery from which we are free is most of the time arguments, mm-hmm. lofty opinions, everything mm. that raises itself against the knowledge of God. So that's why 2 Corinthians 10:4-5 says that the weapons are of our warfare, not of the flesh.
Right.
The truth is, in the flesh, we might be enslaved because we are rejecting lies and ideologies. Mm-hmm. You know, we see that a lot in China.
Yeah.
We see that in the Bible. So physical captivity, yes, we our right is physical freedom, but often because we stand upon our spiritual freedom mm. and we stand upon the truth, we will be physically held captive, but in our spirits, we're free.
Right.
So
man,
one of our future episodes really is going to talk about how when you become born again, the earth realm is not important anymore. It's mm. all about what's going on in the spirit realm. So what I'm talking about is spiritual freedom.
Yeah.
And that's why it's important to understand that the things that hold us captive as Christians
right.
are arguments, lofty opinions, and anything like that mm. that raises itself against the knowledge of God. So that word knowledge, that's what we're going to hit this episode and maybe the next two or three, because hands down, every time a Christian is held captive or enslaved to something, it's because they don't have the knowledge of God about that thing. But the weapons of mm. our warfare are not of the flesh, but they have divine power mm. to destroy strongholds. Strongholds are lies.
Right.
So we have that divine power as Christians to destroy these opinions and lofty arguments that raise itself against the knowledge of God. And we take every thought captive to obey Christ.
Right.
So that's why we need to embrace those who might think differently or might expose inconsistencies in our lives, because they're doing us a service. They right. they're exposing where we are still not free, so we can take that thought, that stronghold, that idea, and bring it into obedience to Christ, mm-hmm. where true freedom is.
Right.
So
that's good.
Yes. While you're without knowledge of, you know, it's not otherwise, like this is my normal, you might not enjoy your circumstances, but right. because it's your normal, because it's the way it is, you're going to deal with it, right? But once you know better, like this is not the way it's supposed to be, or that's not true.
Right.
Like you're digging a tunnel under Stalag Luft 3 and planning your great escape, right? Like
yeah.
I'm not staying here anymore. This is not, right. this is unjust. And guess what? God is on your side in that.
Well, I think it would scare us for someone. I mean, and I'm preaching to myself here because I'm full of opinions. I willingly share them with always a kind heart, not of a lofty or arrogant opinion, but more of just like, I have a strong opinions. I'm just strongly opinionated, you know? And I think sometimes if I hold a lot of strong opinions, and I have been checked multiple times over my life, when I actually sit down and read the scripture, and I don't just read it and skim through it, and I'm actually reading and analyzing, and I go, well, I guess I'm wrong. You know, you have to be able to do that. Yeah. You have to, you know, if you're going to throw your opinions left and right and you're going to establish opinions, you also have to be willing to change. And because you can be wrong, you know.
Absolutely. So, yeah. I think there's actually freedom in owning I can be wrong. Oh. How that's so freeing.
No, it's so true. Just being willing
it's okay to be wrong.
Absolutely. It's not, people get so uptight, like that it's embarrassing and all these things. And I'm just like, oh, I'm sorry, I was just wrong. It's just that easy.
Yeah.
And believe me, you know, think of you in your own personal relationships. When someone admits to you that they're wrong, it doesn't upset you if they just go, oh, I guess I was wrong. What makes you mad is that they double down.
Yeah.
And they're like, no, I'm yeah. not.
Yeah. You actually like and respect people more than when they're
absolutely.
Like, absolutely. I was wrong about that. Yeah. Wow, thank you for helping me see that. You know, between you and me, oh gosh, you're better at owning when you're wrong than me.
I will tell
I've
you,
gotten better
my
because
mom,
I've had a revelation about this.
Yeah.
And so I apologize way sooner with you, where before I'll just get so mad. Well, because part of my identity was wrapped up in like being perfect. Like, I can't make mistakes. And that was my incorrect view of God and how he loved me. Right. So, go ahead.
Yeah. My mom is always just like, oh, well, I'm wrong. That's like literally how she says it. It's just so flippant. It's like, well, I guess I was wrong.
Yeah.
And that's where I get that from. You know, I get my opinions from my father. You know, my dad is very opinionated. I'm very opinionated. But my mom.
It's a great balance.
Yeah, it's a great balance. I got a lot of insight there. And it just makes life so much easier.
It's freeing when you know you just learn to laugh at yourself. That's one of my big ahas.
Yeah, like, learn to laugh at yourself.
Don't take yourself
so seriously. It's okay to be wrong. Okay.
Yeah, so that's like a great point. There's freedom in understanding, you know, it's not the end of the world if you're wrong about something. Mm-hmm. But so let's just say that, you know, wow, I realize I have been held captive to something. I've been held captive by a lie, and you're like digging your tunnel. I want to get out of here. God is on your side with that. He will help you extricate yourself from that, because Galatians 5:1, he died for your freedom.
Yeah.
Right? This is how important your freedom is to him. So when you're like wanting to be made free from a lie or a person or whatever it is, a substance, a habit, a group, God is on your side in that.
Right.
He doesn't want you to be enslaved.
And I feel like it happens in a chain reaction effect. Whenever you start to have that revelation, it's almost like a firework that has multiple explosions. It's like bang, and then bang, 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 bang. And you're just like, what? Yeah. What? This is amazing. You know, like, I had no, you will not believe. Then this happened, and you won't believe. Then this happened. And
it's
then
not
this.
Just one shackle. It's like all the shackles.
Well, shackles. There's shackles. No such thing as a shackle. Because they are linked. There That's are so links, good. Right? There's multiple. Yes, you can break them. When people say, oh, my chains are broken. Well, you actually have shackles around your legs, and then those shackles are linked with chains. Mm-hmm. And so are we breaking the chain, but you still are shackled? Mm. No, I mean, God's revelation and God's freedom is like you had never been shackled before. 1,000%. There's nothing, there's no remnant of anything around your hands, around your ankles. There's no chains. There's nothing.
Yeah.
So I believe the revelation happens that way, as a bang, bang, bang. Like, wow, it's just like an explosion in your mind. It happens that way in the Bible. When you read something in the Bible, you're just like, wow. And then you keep reading, you're like, wow.
Yeah.
You know, it's just how it happens. When something clicks with you, or a revelation happens, and revelation is knowledge. Mm-hmm.
That's so right. Divine knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
So trick question.
Uh-oh.
I actually don't like tricking people, so I'm not trying to trick you, but true or false, the truth will set you free.
I'm going to say no.
No?
Truth will not set you free. But applying truths...
There you go.
...will set you free.
I didn't trick you.
Wow.
Good job.
Yeah. Applying the truths to your life will set you free.
Yeah. The truth you know will set you free.
Mm-hmm.
So now I want to dive into... Well, not just know. Like that word know, I mean the truth you possess. It's not a general acquaintance with the truth. It's the truth you possess, the truth you own that sets you free.
And that makes it a reality. But you have to apply.
You have to apply it.
Correct.
Which... is wisdom. There's knowledge, but then wisdom is applied knowledge.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's dive into our next verse.
Okay.
Jesus said in John 8:31-32, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So I, until God showed me differently, always said truth sets you free. That is partially true. It is the truth you know, the truth you own, the truth you possess that sets you free. So,
because I know not eating carbs and sugars.
There you go.
Yeah, exactly.
That's your most recent application of a truth.
Right.
So tell us about it.
I'm trying to eat healthy.
No, you are eating healthy.
Yeah, I'm trying. you know.
You're doing really good.
I could clean it up. You can clean it up. I mean, I could go eat vegetables. I know that if I just ate vegetables, right? But I'm not going to.
Right. But yeah. You've dropped a lot of weight. Inflammation's down.
Inflammation.
You've known that sugar and carbs are so bad for you.
Jump and run.
That didn't make you stop doing it until just recently.
Yeah. Physically active. I don't get winded like I used to. It's actually kind of mind-blowing. I'm catapulted into that effect of health because it's addicted, where it's like, it's not worth the one bite of pie last night. It's just not, I'm not even going to take one because the reward has been so sweet. Mm-hmm. Like I feel so good. I feel like I can do things and not be winded.
Right. So in a way you were enslaved to like a sweet tooth, or just the food was so good.
I was enslaved by the food. I love the food. I love it all. The process, the better.
That's a great example of applying truth.
Yeah.
So knowing the truth sets you free. Think about this. The truth on its own is basically powerless to set someone free. It needs a partnership.
Mm.
Why is that? Because I got an answer.
Okay.
Because freedom is self-control. So if truth forced you into freedom without your consent, it's not actually freedom. If you don't give truth the permission to free you, it won't free you because it highly prizes your will.
Right.
So God never overrides our free will.
Right.
So, and neither will truth. Even if it's like, this is going to make your life better, it will never impose itself on you. You have to partner with it out of your own free will. Mm. So the truth you know, the truth you own is the truth that sets you free, not the truth that you just are aware of or acquainted with. That's really key. Yeah. Actually, that word no is like in the biblical sense, no, between a man and a woman. So the truth.
What's that mean?
The truth you are one with.
Right.
Sets you free.
Wow. Okay. Say the scripture the original way and say it again.
It says, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples and you will know the truth and the truth will set you free.
Okay. So then say it with the interpretation.
If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples and you will become one with the truth and the truth will set you free.
Wow.
The key to becoming...
Matt, put a tear in my eye. That's good.
But the key, so here is another key.
Yeah.
So we've talked about the key of...
I just want to dwell on that. I don't know why. It's so good. Exactly. It's just delicious. but, you know, just be one with the truth and then you will establish freedom. It will rest upon you. You will feel that. You can stretch your arms out. You can run. That's just... I like that a lot.
I know.
That when you become one with freedom.
One because with that's, truth.
It almost gives me the same feel. I'm sorry. One with truth. It just feels, just feels really true. You know, it's just one of those things you're like, that's good. That's so true.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Well, that's just a powerful statement.
If someone tells me the truth, but I don't believe it or I don't receive it, I don't embrace it. It's powerless to set me free.
Mm.
So you can hear the truth, but I don't like that. Ugh.
That's like a goal you could set for yourself even. Just that little small phrase. I'm going to work hard day by day, just one step at a time, to become closer and to become more at one with truth. Right? Just solidify, get rid of the junk, the frills, and just say, what is that truth?
Okay, so... Ready to go deeper?
Let's go deeper.
Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life.
Huh?
So there now we're talking about oneness with Jesus.
Right.
So let's break down, because the truth you are one with sets you free. That's a key. But if you back up previously in the verse... He said, if you abide in my word. So he's giving us a huge key here, guys.
Yeah.
Number one, if you abide in my word. This is the same thing as saying, if you abide in my truth, because Jesus said in John 17:17, my word is truth. So if you abide in my word, if you abide in truth. And because he called himself truth, he's saying, if you abide in me. So what does that word abide mean?
I mean, before you, I mean, what comes to mind would be to dwell, to like sit amongst, hippie circle style, you know?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Camp style.
Yeah, exactly. Just to abide, to just like, we're staying here for a while.
Actually, I love that you said that, because if you go into the Greek definition, one of them is to sojourn. And to sojourn means a temporary stay. So it's like you set up a tent.
Yeah, it's like,
and
we're
going
to sit here
for
a bit.
I'm going to camp here for a minute.
Yeah.
And so now this is going to bring a whole new spin on reading the Bible, because the truth is encapsulated in the scriptures.
Right. Like,
the scripture needs to be our life source. So this is going to take reading my Bible to a whole different level. It's not like, well, I got my three chapters in today. I spent, you know, it's not ticking off a box. It's like, right, I'm going to read until I find that one thing that just...
Yeah, well, that's what I just said a second ago. Yeah. When reading the Bible isn't just like, you're reading the Bible to just be like, check mark. Because I can't stand doing things just to do them. That's just not my personality. I need to do it with a goal in mind or something. And so, I mean, that's a great tactic. If you said, I'm just going to read intently until I have that.
Until something's just like, oh, that's good. And then I'm just going to camp there the rest of the day. That's my manna for today.
I'm going to abide. Yeah.
That's abiding. So you just, you're just good. Thinking abiding. About that. That's why, is it Proverbs? It says that he shall be like a tree planted by, he meditates on my word day and night. The man that does that will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, whose leaf does not wither, and whatever he does will prosper. You know?
Yeah, it's so true, though.
So if Bible reading, if we're freed from this idea that Bible reading is a drudgery of, I need to get my three chapters in, but it's like, no, I'm going to go and feast today. I'm going to find the thing that's like, that was for me. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to camp on that all day. I'm going to feed on that. That's what abiding means. But also, I believe it's what he speaks to your heart individually. Those are also his words. His promises to you, his revelation, his counsel, you know, his guidance, like that is also his words to you.
Right.
And that's also what he wants us to abide in. A tragic fact is the Barna Group, which is a Christian research organization, has found that from 1993 to 2020, just 35% of Christian adults, American Christian adults, read their Bible. Just 35%.
I'm not surprised by that statistic. Well, that's a sad statistic, because in all honesty, I don't read my Bible like I should. A lot of Americans don't.
Why don't we? I'm curious. I've got ideas why. I mean,
yeah.
We're busy. I'm not.
Oh, I'll tell you, that's just a fact of it.
I'm not condemning anybody.
Right. No, I hear that.
But what I want is for people to realize, like, it's the abiding that leads to the oneness with the truth, that leads to freedom. And like, it's just a delicious enrichment of your life.
Right.
Not a drudgery.
Yeah. We stack our days. That's a huge part of it. You know, we wake up at 6:45 sometimes for me. And from the moment I wake up, is jump in the shower, get the clothes on, get the kids out, run to the school, run to the shop, get the installers out the door, run to the job sites, and then just office work starts to happen if I don't have any other, you know, it just doesn't stop until you're home. Then you're exhausted. So
yeah.
I'm not making excuses, but I think a lot of people live that way.
Right.
A lot of people live that life, and it's the same thing. It goes back to my diet. After a rough day, do you want to sit down and have a Coke or get some ice cream after your meal? Absolutely. But until you taste a freeing reward, I think that's what's the problem, maybe, because we don't read the Bible to achieve knowledge. We read the Bible as, hey, I need to read the Bible for 10 minutes. I need to read the Bible for 15 minutes.
Servitude versus adventure. So it's funny
about this whole health journey that I'm going through. Mm-hmm. Have I weighed myself once?
No. Doesn't matter.
I have, it doesn't matter to me. The 10 minutes in the Bible shouldn't matter to me. The 15 minutes, I should read till I obtain the word that God has for me for that day. Same thing for me. I'm with my health. I'm not eating to hit a number. I'm not limiting myself and putting boundaries in place to hit a number. It's for the feel. It's for the freedom. It's for, you know,
the health.
So same thing with the Bible. I mean, that's a revelation I just had just now. Maybe we look at reading the Bible differently. If the goal setting, I need to get up at 6 a.m. or 5:30 in the morning and I need to read for 5 to 10 minutes. No, you need to read until you receive the revelation.
Doesn't take that long either.
No,
especially,
it doesn't.
Especially when you realize Jesus knows what you have to do.
Right.
And so he's going to, you know, it's like you and me touching base during the day. He's just going to slide it in when you make the time in the time frame that you have, you know, and mm-hmm. that's going to be something you feed on. Right. But if you go back to the statistic of 35%, that means most Americans are not reading scripture, which means they are depending on secondary sources to tell them what it says.
Yeah.
Podcasts, church on Sunday.
Right. Church on Sunday. Right? You're my Chick-fil-A. Anyway.
At the end of the day, that is foolish
mm-hmm.
for two reasons. Now, I would say some of these sources of knowledge, like our churches, podcasts that we love, they have good intentions towards us. Our parents, our friends, most of the time you're going to do okay listening to them, but that is how their errors become your errors.
Well,
and their deceptions become your deceptions.
But you're taking it, you're consuming their information as truths.
Right.
So it's not even their opinions or their errors become yours. They become your truths.
Against the standard of truth, they are errors and deception. And error and deception is a form of captivity. So when you depend on secondary sources as your primary source of the truth of scripture, you're not reading it, you're listening to other people's interpretation and their pontification.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the time, these people have good intentions. They're not trying to lead you astray.
Right.
But if they're in error, then you're going to adopt their error mm-hmm. if you're not vetting it against the scripture, right? Yeah. That's a danger because at the end of days, we're going to be judged according to the scriptures and not your favorite podcast.
Yeah.
The second reason why it's foolish. So some sources of knowledge out there are out there to deceive you. They do want to deceive you, right?
Oh, I mean, you're talking about like, false prophets and you think they're put in place to trip you up or what? What are you talking about?
Yeah. So I'm saying like, you know, it's foolish to not abide in God's word for yourself, and make other people your primary sources of truth. But we can't be naive and think that everyone who has a platform.
Right.
Is out there because they want to tell us the truth. Some people have an agenda. Some people want to control others. And
or they're just uneducated and opinionated.
I'm saying there's some people with good intentions and some people with bad intentions.
Do you really think there's people out there that are attempting to misinform? Are they attempting to be in the spirit, or are they're from the enemy put in place to, I don't know. What are you saying? That there are people
today especially.
Mm-hmm.
With the state of our media and our universities and our entertainment and even some churches, you can't go into these being naive.
Right.
Deception can come, error can come in a multitude of ways. Mm-hmm. If you abide in the word, you're less likely to be deceived because, as Bill Johnson says, the Bible is the only book that when you read it, the author shows up. The spirit of truth is right there inside of you, leading you into truth as you read the truth. You have to do it for yourself, though.
Yeah.
Okay, so we have to read the Bible. And Jesus says the mark of a true disciple is abiding in his word. So if you're not abiding in his word, if you're not spending time with him, Jesus does not consider you one of his disciples. He doesn't consider you one of his students.
Yeah.
You might think you are.
Yeah.
But if you're not abiding in his word, if you're not spending time with him, he does not consider you his student. And that's one of those hard truths that, like, oh, I don't like that.
Yeah, you don't like it. I mean, you really don't, because it, it's like upsetting, because you think I got to reprioritize some things.
But let me just again take the drudgery out of it. I'm not saying you have to spend an hour a day. I'm saying,
again, that's a time thing.
Yeah. I
think that revelation is powerful.
Yeah. I'm saying check in, open your Bible app and read the proverb for the day and just let it feed you. Wait until it feeds you.
I mean, that's such a simple thing. You know, the proverbs. I have a book in my truck, whip it out every once in a while when my ADD brain doesn't forget. Ashley got it for me. But just reading a proverb a day, every proverb, there's something in there that gives you a spanking or will feed you. And that's just a fact. It'll either say, check yourself before you wreck yourself, or fill you right up and you won't be hungry the rest of the day. It's just, it's what Proverbs was made to do. My mom, with three boys, I think, knows Proverbs like the back of her hand. It's chanted it at us. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. I heard that so many times growing up.
So if we do this, if we abide in his word, then he considers us his students. And then we will become one with the truth. And that truth we are one with will set us free. So that's the foundation I want to lay in this first part of our series. Are you in the know? Right?
Yeah.
This is a part of being the freeborn. You know, part of being the freeborn is knowing.
No.
What you have the right to.
Read that scripture again, the one being one with truth, the interpretation.
Okay, it's John 8:31-32. If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will become one with the truth, and the truth will set you free.
And you will become one with the truth, and the truth will set you free. That's good.
It's beautiful.
That's the nugget for the day, mate.
All right, guys. So we'll see you next week. And it's been great to be with you.
Yeah.